One of the things that is very common among those that live in other countries, like the United States, which is a 12, 13-hour plane ride, is when we come back to China, we always bring back a lot of things. So, for example, when we go to the United States with my wife and daughter and myself, we're allowed two 20-kilo bags, suitcases, and so we bring six empty suitcases back, fill it up, and bring full suitcases back here. And that's kind of common. One of the things that we typically get when we go to the U.S. is food. That's a big thing. And they sell it here. Like, I could probably find Shake and Bake here, but like here, it would probably cost, I don't know, maybe 100 RMB or something like that. But in the U.S., it would cost 5 RMB. I mean, that's just how much cheaper it is to get certain things. One of the things I don't like to get, but some things that I do have to get, is clothing. I don't like to shop for clothing. I typically have clothing when I do, like, I bought this shirt maybe like 20 years ago, and I like to buy things that kind of are not fashionable, but it's like I could wear it in whatever decade, and it still kind of looks decent. You know, because fashion changes quite a bit, right? And so let me show you some pictures. Like here in China, this was just like 1980s is the top picture, and then the bottom picture is like today, right? And so even within Shanghai, fashion has changed quite a bit. Here in the US, this is like next picture, we have 1970s kind of looking clothing, and then this is today, you know? And so fashion seems to change quite a bit. Especially in Shanghai. Shanghai is a very much of a kind of a fashion capital of probably Asia. And it's very interesting. To me, I'll tell you one thing that I do notice is shoes. Not dress shoes, but like tennis shoes, sneakers. I notice that a lot because the only shoes that I typically like to buy are white. And that kind of maybe tells you a little bit about my style and the decade that I kind of grew up in. But today, the style is so like pink and purple, and just, you know, you can customize your own Nikes and things like that. And it's just something that I wouldn't necessarily wear. But you do notice the styles of how it changed. And one of the things that's nice about certain styles is they come back. And so one of the things that I noticed is people started wearing Air Huaraches. Air Huaraches are Nike shoes that were very popular in the 90s, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, and they kind of like became famous by a tennis player by the name of Andre Agassi. He would wear them. And they were like the first kind of like slip-on tennis shoes. They kind of have like a built-in sock. And I bought those when I was in college, and I really liked it. And then they kind of faded out, but now they're coming back. So fashion kind of comes back also, right? Go back to that previous picture of the one in China. I don't think that style is going to come back. I don't think so. I could be wrong. I don't think that's going to come back. But it is interesting how it's, you know, clothing, it just changes over time. We're going to take a look at this scripture today where Paul uses this kind of analogy of putting on spiritual clothing. Just like you put on physical clothing, these are spiritual clothing that as Christians we need to be wearing. And this doesn't change over time. This was written over 2,000 years ago, and these are the kind of things that we are to wear as we represent Jesus Christ. If you were to wear, like, go back to that picture of the 70s, the 1970s picture. You know, if you were to wear something like that today, you'd be embarrassed. I mean, that's not my era. That'd probably be like my parents or something like that. And I don't think my parents were that much into fashion. But, I mean, you'd be embarrassed to walk around in something like that. But this spiritual clothing that we're going to talk about today is things that we need to be putting on that God wants us to wear so that we are not an embarrassment to Jesus Christ, but rather we represent him well. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And here in this passage, Paul talks about these spiritual clothing of the new man, the new person, a person who's been born again. If you're a Christian, these are the things that we are, before we leave the house, We are to be putting these on so that, he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on or clothe yourself a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So here, let's take a look at some of these, what I would call clothing of God that we are to put on before we leave the house every day as we represent Jesus Christ. First of all, he says, put on compassion. Compassion. And compassion is a word that means pity of heart. It's that inner heart of ours that's moved when we see someone else who's maybe overwhelmed by their circumstances. And when we recognize that, we can't help but to help bear their load. And our spirit is stirred along and we try to help. Compassion means pity of heart, where our heart, your heart, is stirred by the circumstances of another person. Next time God reveals to you someone who is overwhelmed and someone that needs help, are you willing to come alongside with a compassionate heart and assist them? I was speaking at a retreat a couple of years ago, and it was toward the end of the retreat, and I was very tired. It was the last session. It ended about 11 p.m. I was very tired. We had to get up early the next morning to do the last session early in the morning before we left. And it was about 11 o'clock. I was ready to go to bed. But there was this one guy who came up to me, and he said, Pastor Jason, I hear voices in my head. Suppose I were to tell that person who came to me practically in tears, and suppose as he comes up to me and says, I hear voices in my head, suppose I were to tell him something like, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but why don't you contact me like in a couple of weeks when I'm back in Shanghai and we'll talk over the phone. I would never say that. Those of you who know me know that I would not say that. It's something where when you hear something like that, or somebody that's just so overwhelmed by their circumstances, are we willing to put aside our schedule? Are we willing to put aside our checklist so that we could come alongside and help? When we put on this clothing of compassion, when we see a person who's overwhelmed by their circumstances, that clothing of compassion comes alongside, and we put aside our own agenda, our own to-do list, so that we could help. When we represent Jesus Christ, are we make sure that we do not leave the house without that clothing of compassion. Without that clothing of compassion, you may be able to get your checklist done. You may be able to get your to-do list done, but you will miss out on an incredible ways that God can use you to be a blessing to somebody that is hurting. Do not leave the house without that clothing of compassion. Next is kindness. Kindness is kind of an interesting word. It literally means active benevolence, active benevolence. This is not something that you randomly do. In America, we have the saying, practice random acts of kindness. But biblical kindness is not random. It is something that we actively pursues. It's something we do for the benefit of somebody else, and we take the initiative. Romans 2:4, it's a very interesting passage. It says here, talking about salvation, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. The kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And the more we become like Jesus Christ, the more that we are moved by his kindness. And this kind of kindness is something that is not random, but rather it is I take the initiative to show kindness to somebody else. The next clothing, article of clothing that we are to wear is not only are we to put on compassion, not only are we to put on kindness, but thirdly is humility. Humility. And humility is not somebody that has low self-esteem. That's not humility. Humility is simply God gets the glory, not myself. So it's not somebody that kind of walks around with like, oh, moping all day and, oh, I'm such a bad person, I'm such a bad Christian, oh, no, you know, how can God love me? That's not humility, okay? That's maybe they're suffering from low self-esteem, but humility is not about me getting the glory, it's not about low self-esteem, and it's not even about high self-esteem. It's about God esteem. It's about God getting the glory, not self. The fourth is gentleness. This part, article of clothing, this is manifested when people find it easy to receive us because we bring into their life a soothing sense of God's presence as his servant. That's what gentleness is all about. Gentleness is not meekness. It's not being scared. It's not about being weak. It's actually literally strength under control. Kind of like a strong Arabian horse, those race horses that are very powerful, but they're under the control of the jockey. Well, here, this is what gentleness is all about. It's strength under the control of God. The last piece of clothing is patience. You know, I think of patience, and maybe we think of patience as, you know, you're standing in line, getting ready at 8 o'clock in the morning, line 2, Guanglanlu subway station, and you're standing in line for like, it seems like 20 minutes, and you're getting closer and closer and closer as the train comes, and then all of a sudden somebody jumps right in front of you and jumps right in there. Who's ever experienced that before? Okay, or maybe you're just standing in line and somebody just cuts right in front of you, and people think, well, patience is about, you know, waiting, you know, in that sense. Well, that's actually not what patience is here. Patience is actually the character of not retaliating when wronged. It literally means long suffering. That's what patience is. It's long suffering. It means that you have a very long fuse. It's you're not easily irritated, but rather long suffering. So these are the five clothing that we are to put on. That's very interesting. This is stuff that we can not put on. We can choose not to put on, or we choose to put on. I noticed here that I forgot something at home today. I was leaving the house, and my wife
basically
actually dropped me off because she had to pick something up here. One of my illustrations that I was going to bring, I found a bobblehead, but I didn't bring it because I forgot to bring it. But anyway, something that I did not forget when I left the house this afternoon, I didn't forget my underwear, I didn't forget my pants, I didn't forget my shirt, and I noticed here that everybody's wearing a shirt and everybody's wearing pants or skirt. It's just interesting that no matter how busy you are, no matter how rushed you are, no matter how kind of, you know, when you're really in a pinch you are, it's very interesting what you don't forget. It's kind of it's a human phenomenon. It's a human phenomenon is when we are short of time, it's amazing what happens of what we don't forget. So no matter how busy you are tomorrow, maybe you're running 15 minutes late, maybe you're running 30 minutes late, you wake up late, and you're like, oh. It's amazing what happens when you're short of time, what you don't forget. Nobody typically forgets to put on pants. Nobody typically forgets to put on a shirt. Nobody typically runs out naked. Maybe some of you do, but if you do, that's another problem. But the person who, the average person doesn't forget that because these are the priority things that you instinctively put on. This is the language that Paul is using here. This is the thing that he is using, that this is the priority clothing that we are to put on, okay? The priority clothing. Notice here in this, he doesn't say anything about make sure you walk out with huge Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge is very important, but he doesn't say that. Make sure that you're very discerning before you leave. Discernment is very important, but it's not in this list. This is the underwear. This is the pants. This is the shirt. This is the priority list that we are to put on when we represent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ needs us to represent him here. He doesn't want a Bible answer person. His priority is a person that's compassionate, a person that understands kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And not only do we understand that, this is what we live. This is how we live as we honor him and represent him. These are the clothing that Jesus is never embarrassed when we put these clothing on and represent him. So we need to put on these clothing. Secondly, if we were to impact others, the second thing that he says is in verse 13. We need to put up with others. Put up with others. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. It's very interesting that here this is a commandment that we are to bear with one another. If we are to impact others, we need to put up with others. And here, this is a reminder that we put up with others because others are putting up with you. Others are putting up with me. And this is something that, you know, oftentimes we pray, God, would you change my husband? Would you change my wife? Would you change my daughter or my son? Would you change my boss? Would you make them more lovable? Would you make them more likable? But you know what God is telling you? You know what the answer to that prayer is? The answer to that prayer is you put up with them. You put up with them. Why? There's a lot of people putting up with you. I know there's a lot of people putting up with me. And this is something that we need to really remember as we impact others. I was an RA, a resident advisor, when I was in university. Basically, an RA, a resident advisor, is kind of like a dorm dad. And one of the things that we do is so in my dorm, we had 50 college students. And I was young. I was only a sophomore, and a lot of these guys were freshmen, sophomores, even some juniors and seniors. And so I felt a little intimidated, but there were times where I really had fun, like providing activities for the students, making sure that their college experience was really a good one. But there were some issues with the dorm that I was an RA in. So there's how many students? 50 students. In the whole dorm, we had 3 washing machines. Okay, 3 washing machines for 50 students. So as you can imagine, those 3 washing machines were being used all the time. Well, I remember there was, sometimes what people do is, and it's irritating, but sometimes people will like do their laundry, they'll do their wash, and then they'll leave it in there and they'll go to class, or they'll forget about it, right? And so, what do you do? Because you have to do your load, and there's only 3 washing machines, but there was this one particular girl that was very, like, she would use all 3 machines, wash them, and it only takes maybe 30 minutes to wash, but she would, like, leave it in there for, like, hours. Well, the rest of us are kind of, people were asking me, this girl, she's in room 303, and it's like, she's, like, always hogging up the machines, and she's got like 3 loads of laundry a day, and she's using them on the machine. So, I've talked to her a few times. She's, oh, I'm so sorry. She was kind of a bit absent-minded, but also at the same time, she was kind of like, don't tell me what to do type of attitude. So she was like, oh, I'm sorry, but she really wouldn't do anything about it. But anyway, one time there was another set of girls, this other girl in room 101 in particular, she was just kind of irritated, and she actually... took a picture of this. This is like years ago, but I took a picture of this. She wrote a sign on the washing machine, the girl in room 301. She said this, to the person who stopped my wash in the middle of my wash cycle and took out my clothing out just to wash yours, you are a jerk. That's what she wrote. Because somebody stopped her wash. They were sick of it. They stopped her wash, took out her clothing, put theirs in. And she said, she wrote this on the, because she didn't know who it was. She just wrote this note, and I took a picture of this. And she's, okay, so she said, "To the person who stopped the wash in the middle of my wash cycle and took my clothing out just to wash yours, you are a jerk. Unfortunately for you, so am I. You can find your clothing outside in the rain. If you have any problems, come see me. I'm in room 301. You know, and so this kind of escalated. So now this girl took out that person's wash, not just put it on the table, she threw it out the window, okay? And it just kind of escalated over this, and then that person got really mad, and then they put bleach. You know what bleach is? Okay, in her colored clothing. It just got so bad that, and you know, here I'm like a sophomore. I'm like, you know, 19 years old. Like, what's going on here? I don't know. Like, you know, these two girls are just going at it, you know, with each other. And it's very interesting how easy things can escalate, right? How easy it can get to escalate. And here, Jesus is telling us, put up with others. God's not going to change people so that you'll like them. He's telling you, he's telling me, bear with one another. Put up with one another. That's the godly thing to do as we represent Jesus Christ. And he reminds us here about forgiveness, that forgiveness, we are to forgive just as Christ has forgiven us. And this word forgiveness literally means to let go. It's kind of like the picture of a dog like holding onto a bone, you know, and won't let go. And here, God is telling us that when we forgive others, we let it go. You know, we let it go. Don't let it consume your life like that. And it's easy how when we escalate things, when we don't let things go, when we don't bear with one another, how just even the smallest irritation can really, you know, just make us into such horrible people. You know, and it, which started as just a minor infraction, all of a sudden becomes like a felony. Here he talks about if we are to impact others, we need to put on the clothing of God. We need to put up with one another. And lastly, we are to pursue love. We are to pursue love. Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of peace. More important than putting on these clothing of God, more important than putting up with others that irritate you, more important than that, put on love. Put on love. Love is what binds, is the glue that holds everything together. I want to show you this. This is something in every guy's toolbox, or most guys' toolbox. This is super glue. Super glue. Who's used super glue? Okay, super glue is one of the best inventions I've ever had. So this thing is very, very strong. I use this for anything that's kind of broken. It's very quick drying and it's very, very strong. So I just used it the other day. Part of my white tennis shoes that I have was the rubber part was coming off. And so I opened up the super glue and I put just, all you do is one drop of super glue and it, the rubber part of the tennis shoe is now permanently sealed again. But what's interesting is if you get even a little bit on your finger, have you ever gotten super glue on your finger? And then just out of curiosity, who's ever purposefully done that? Has anybody purposely done, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, you, come on, admit, I know a lot of guys have done this. So, you know, you just put a little bit, what happens when you stick your fingers together? They're stuck. They are stuck. And what happens when you try to separate your finger? What happens is you rip a whole layer of your skin, of one of the fingers. That's what happens. I know it's kind of disgusting, but a lot of guys have done that. Come on. And so I know some people that did like all 5, 10 fingers, you know, because it's kind of like interesting and they try to, I mean, it just hurts for, anyway, you know, it's just a very strong adhesive. This super glue is an amazing invention and can be used for so many things and it just binds broken things together. Well, this is the picture that Paul wants us to see when he summarizes all of these things. If we want to impact others for eternity, remember this glue. that it's love, love, agape love, that binds all of this together. When we have compassion and kindness and gentleness and humility and patience, and when we put up with others, none of that is worth it unless we are remembering that it is this love that he commands us. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And it's kind of interesting that John says this is a new commandment. Jesus says this in John 13, and it's not new in the sense of chronology. It's new in the sense of freshness. It's new in the sense of it is kind of invigorating, just as when you first found the love of God, we need to be living that with one another. It's that type of intensity, that type of freshness that we need to practice with one another. When I graduated from seminary, one of the places that my wife and I traveled to was to the East Coast. After I graduated from seminary, this is way before Shanghai, my wife and I, we traveled to to the East Coast. At the time, my older sister was there, and my first nephew, Josiah, was just born. And so we got a chance to visit them, and I wanted to show my wife where I grew up. So we took a road trip. We went to Washington, D.C. We went to North Carolina. Then we went to New Jersey, where I was born. But then we spent New Year's at New York and New York City. It was the first time my wife was ever there. And we got tickets to a Broadway show at the Carnegie Hall. Carnegie Hall is a very famous performance theater in New York City, a very old one. And near Carnegie Hall is what I read was the best restaurant in that area. The most famous restaurant is the Russian Tea Room. And this has been around for almost 100 years. Very iconic restaurant in New York City. And very fine dining, very expensive. But I wanted to treat my wife. And I just remembered when we were sitting there, first time we've ever been in a restaurant where we actually have to check in our coat. You know, and my wife felt very special. And I'll please understand, I just graduated from seminary. We had very little money, and actually I only worked part-time at the time. My wife worked part-time. Income was low. We didn't have a lot of funds, but I wanted to just treat my wife to a very special place. And so we got to the Russian, we saw the Broadway show, and then we had dinner reservations at the Russian Tea House. And it's one of those restaurants, they have two menus, the one with the price and the one without the price. And so my wife obviously got the one without the price, and she was afraid we were going to, go broke. And I said, "Don't worry about it, honey. This is for you." And she's observing the restaurant and looking at, famous movie stars that are coming in. Woody Allen, I think, was there when we were there. And I was trying to get her attention. And, I just wanted her to know. And I told her, "Honey, I just want you to know I could not have made it through seminary without you." She worked all those years when I was in seminary. She supported me throughout all those years. And I just told her, "I love you so very much. And I'm so thankful that God has brought you into my life." Take a picture of that scene. Pull out the romance, and that's the intensity that God wants us to love each other. This is what agape love is. And it's not about the romance, but it's about this is the glue that bonds people together. This is the glue that allows us to impact others for eternity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for our time this afternoon. And Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to impact the people around us. And Father, we know it's not about our agenda or about what we want people to do, but it's about honoring, glorifying you. So Father, thank you for just everyone here. And as we think about how we can impact others, help us to remind ourselves that it is you that impacted us first. And so it is you that put on these clothing of compassion and humility, and you put up with us, and certainly you're the one that loves us. So Father, thank you that we can do the same to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.